Hello, and welcome to the September 9th edition of Juno Afternoon. You're listening to KTOO News Juno. I'm Joan Pardes. Jeff Brown is the engineer and producer of the show. And we've got a really good show. We're going to talk about the Path to Prosperity, which is a new and exciting business competition in Southeast Alaska. We're going to talk about how to get your rotary bulbs. There's an upcoming Boy Scouts fundraising cruise ship luncheon. And also, our last guest will be talking about a workplace wellness fundraiser for Aware and Pavitt Fitness Center. All that, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The state of Alaska has intervened in a case challenging a tribal court's ruling. It involves the termination of parental rights of a man convicted of attempted murder, kidnapping, and assault of the mother of his children. KNBA's Jocelyn Estes has more.
Edward Parks is a member of the Native Village of Stevens in Interior, Alaska. The mother and child in the case are members of the nearby Native Village of Minto. Parks had assaulted the mother of his children several times when the Minto Tribal Court terminated his parental rights without allowing his attorney to make oral arguments. The state has intervened as the case goes before the Alaska Supreme Court, saying the Minto Tribal Court lacked jurisdiction and didn't provide due process. Natalie Singh is general counsel for the Tanana Chiefs Conference, the regional tribal entity for Interior Alaska. She says under the Indian Child Welfare Act, tribal courts do have jurisdiction in these circumstances.
The tribe's position is that they have jurisdiction of the child. If it's a member child or if the child is eligible for membership, the tribe has jurisdiction, and it doesn't matter who the parents are.
Under the Indian Civil Rights Act, tribal courts are required to provide due process or fair, unbiased procedures. But due process can be based on their own laws and customs, such as the use of therapeutic and peacemaking techniques, rather than adversarial court procedures involving attorneys. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Jocelyn Estes.
Officials have reopened the Wounded Knee Museum in South Dakota in a new building, a year after it was damaged by fire. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
An electrical malfunction caused the fire, which destroyed the museum building and 30 exhibits dealing with the Wounded Knee Massacre of 1890. The museum is in Wall, South Dakota, at the northern edge of the South Dakota Badlands. Museum co-founder Steve Wyatt says insurance did not come close to covering the loss, but Wyatt says some items that survived the fire are in a new museum in downtown Wall. The facility is dedicated to the December 1890 event where 300 Lakota people were killed by U.S. Army soldiers. Wyatt says a feature of the new museum is an enhanced photographic reproduction of an historic treaty. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
The father involved in a custody dispute has filed another appeal in the case. As Kurt Gortney with KGOU reports, the struggle in the baby Veronica case shows no immediate signs of resolution.
Dustin Brown, a citizen of the Cherokee Nation, wants the Oklahoma Supreme Court to overturn a second lower court ruling ordering that he turn over Veronica to her adoptive parents in South Carolina. South Carolina courts and now two Oklahoma district courts have ordered that Brown turn over Veronica to Matt and Melanie Capo Bianco. Brown continues to pursue custody of his daughter, who turns four next week. He says Veronica needs to be raised in a Native American family. Earlier this summer, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the Federal Indian Child Welfare Act did not apply in Brown's case. The Oklahoma Supreme Court has issued an emergency stay, meaning the girl remains with Brown and his family. There is also a gag order in the case, meaning neither family can talk with the news media. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gortney.
Federal education officials are in New Mexico today. U.S. Education Secretary Arnie Duncan is launching a back-to-school tour in the state. The event is addressing the importance of education. And a U.S. Education Department Teaching Ambassador Fellow is visiting the Native American Community Academy in Albuquerque. According to the U.S. Department of Education, the fellow will learn about promising examples of teachers working in low-performing districts. During this month in 1917, the Kokopah Indian Reservation was established. It's located near Yuma, Arizona, where about 1,000 tribal members live and work on or nearby the reservation. The reservation is more than 6,000 acres and includes a casino, resort, speedway, and other attractions. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello, you are listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News. Juno, I'm Joan Pardis, your Monday host. Jeff Brown is the engineer and producer of Juno Afternoon. And the weather today is mostly cloudy. Highs around 60. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Patchy fog late. Slight chance of rain late. Lows around 46. Southeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow is cloudy. Chance of rain. Highs around 56. Tuesday night, cloudy. Chance of rain. For the rest of the week, it looks like it's cloudy. Chance of rain, which in Southeast means great weather. So before we jump into our first guest, I just want to say that KRNN, KTOO sister station, is looking for volunteers to help run its airwaves. If you have a love of music, in particular the world and women's music genres, and want to share your enthusiasm and your talent, or behind the scenes, please give Jeff Brown a call at 463-6425. I'm a volunteer if I could do it. Anybody could do it. All right, let's talk about anybody could do it. Here we are with Sean Blumenschein from Ha'ani, and we're here to talk about this Path to Prosperity business competition to help anybody do it, get a business going in Southeast Alaska. Is that true, Sean?
That's exactly right. In fact, our motto on our website is, you can be an entrepreneur.
I must have read it before I said that. Okay, so let's talk. First of all, let's start at the very beginning.
Absolutely.
The deadline is next Monday. Is that correct?
It is. This is our final week that we're accepting concepts. So it's our last mad dash to the end. So if you have an idea out there and you haven't submitted yet, please do.
Okay, so that means if, for the people who are listening, perk up if you're a business entrepreneur thinking about starting a business or you own a business. So what is the Path to Prosperity?
The Path to Prosperity is a business concept competition. We use the word concept because our ideal target audience isn't necessarily somebody that has a canned business plan that just needs a funder. We're looking for entrepreneurs and people out there that have ideas about a business and maybe don't know how to go about starting it up or how to put together a strong business plan. We are also looking for existing businesses that might be looking for ways to expand or ways to maybe gain more of the market share for whatever industry they're in. They just need a little bit of assistance. So that's our target audience.
Okay, but this is a partnership between Ha'ani, and Ha'ani is...
Ha'ani is the economic development subsidiary of Sea Alaska Corporation.
Okay.
So we specifically focus on economic development activities in Southeast Alaska within the rural communities.
Great. So this is a partnership between Ha'ani and the Nature Conservancy.
Correct.
And so if I was starting a business or thinking of expanding my business, what's the angle? What's the sweet spot for these? Well, first of all, let's talk about what people are going to get.
Okay. Well, the competition has two phases. So there's phase one, which is what we're in right now, which is where we collect ideas. After next Monday, our deadline elapses, and then we will take all the ideas we received, rate and score them, and select the top 12. The top 12 will come to Juneau for a boot camp weekend that will go over the basics and fundamentals of putting together a strong business plan, meet with industry professionals to talk about developing their business plan, and work with the Alaska Small Business Development Center to start developing a solid plan. They will utilize 10 hours of technical assistance with Alaska Small Business Development Center, and by December 16th, they'll have a final product. Those 12 will compete against each other with that final product, and independent panel of judges will select the top two. The top two will then go on to receive $40,000 in technical and consulting services to bring their plan to the level where an angel investor or an equity investor or a bank would actually fully fund their project.
Okay, so when you talk about technical resources, what are you talking
about?
It
could be anything. It's going to be very specific to the plan, to the business, and it'll be part of what they develop during phase two of this competition. Part of their final project will be how they intend to use these $40,000 in assistance. But it could be anything from patent law to like market research or branding. It could be a variety of things that are needed in order to bring their plan to that level where an investor would look at it and be like, oh yeah, I'm in.
Okay. Speaking of investors, let's talk about the sponsors of this path to prosperity, and then
right.
I want to talk, because we're kind of talking big strokes. I want to get into what if you were a coffee shop? What if you were a spa? What if you were thinking about opening a wine bar, a restaurant, things like that. But let's talk about the sponsors. So Tani, who's the Nature Conservancy?
We're the partners. We're each putting in $250,000 to fund this project. So it's $500,000 behind it. And the Nature Conservancy actually is the one that came up with this concept and idea and approached us about pilot testing it. We also have Juno Economic Development Council. We've got University of Alaska Southeast School of Business. We've got Alaska Small Business Development Center. And we've got Wells Fargo.
Okay. So a lot of different people lending their voices and expertise in the process.
Absolutely.
So we were talking before we went on air, and we were talking about the sustainable nature of it. So let's talk about, what is,
So the scoring criteria, which is available on our website, p2pweb.org, it has business components, and then it has sustainable and conservation components. And the competition is designed so that some business, any business that utilizes natural resources or just local resources in a sustainable, environmentally friendly type of manner, will score higher in this process and float to the top. The idea is that you could take any business today and add a conservation or a sustainable component to it, whether it be a coffee shop using recycled materials or environmentally friendly cleaning supplies to clean their shop, or even recycled materials as far as the decor and the construction materials used to construct the shop itself. I mean, there's lots of different ways that you could include sustainability into a business plan. Now, there, of course, are naturally businesses that are just going to fit that mold better. Like if you're utilizing, some byproducts of like tree harvest, perhaps, or berry picking or something that grows naturally without in the wilderness and find a way to market and use it in some sort of innovative way, that would naturally fit better. But you could take something like a coffee shop or even an IT company and add sustainability and conservation to it.
Okay. So I think that really helps frame the conversation. But now I want to put on different hats. So it's really clear if somebody has an idea and it's not formed, this is a perfect place for it. Okay.
That's
so
exactly
you would
right.
say, okay, I want to do X, Y, or Z.
Right.
All right. Then there's people who are already in motion. Maybe it's they're just starting or they're a year out.
Right.
And they already have their business plan. They have their, seed money to get it going.
Right.
How do those people benefit from participating in this process?
Well, so they would benefit. Now, as far as an existing business goes, it would be a business that needs our assistance in some way, whether it needs to be strengthening their business plan, or actually maybe they started a business and never really did all the number crunching behind it. Like businesses sometimes get created out of necessity or need and don't have a lot of forethought that goes into it sometimes. So that would be an example. Or a business that maybe is not quite hitting the numbers that they wanted and are trying to find a way to increase more revenue streams or to expand their business into a new way, and they need help figuring out what that is. figuring out what direction to go in as far as maybe market research goes, talking to industry experts to see what the trends are. Those are the types of businesses we would want to assist with this program,
right,
that would benefit from it.
So it's not a cash prize, it's resources.
It's resources that'll be utilized in order to get your plan fully funded. So the idea behind it was that instead of just giving a $40,000 cash prize, use that money to get them all the money they need, so that the business has a larger chance of staying afloat.
So it stays sustainable, maybe?
Exactly. Sustainability. That's the buzzword.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. Okay. So the deadline is September 16th.
Right.
The application, which I did take a quick peek at, looks really easy. This is not a federal grant where you have to write a thesis paper.
We are just looking for ideas. And we really wanted the questions just to elicit what the idea is and to get an idea of how much thought you've put into it. But we wanted to make it as simple as possible to get as many applications as we can.
Right. So that's September 16th, and where can they find this application?
It's on our website, p2pweb.org.
Or you could just search Path to Prosperity, but I would throw Juno in there because you'll get a lot of different paths to prosperity.
They could also call. My phone number is 586-9251, or you can email, which is p2p@cealaska.com.
Okay. Well, I think we covered it all. Is there anything that we missed, Sean?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you so much for doing this. I hope in 5 years we're looking at a wide variety of different businesses because of this.
I hope so, too.
So that'd be great. Okay. Next up is Writer's Almanac, and then we're going to talk about rotary bulbs.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 9th of September, 2013. It was on this day, 1830, first American aeronaut went up in the air. A man named Charles Durant made his first balloon flight, took off from the Battery in New York City, flew to Perth Amboy, New Jersey, a trip of about 25 miles, a very exciting thing. In 1830, a huge crowd came out to see him. 20,000 persons, according to the New York Post. They've done this all before in Europe, in Paris, almost 50 years before the first manned balloon flight. There was another flight in America, 1793. President Washington came out to watch that one, but the aeronaut was French, Charles Durant, the first American to go up in the air in 1830 from Manhattan. He dressed in a top hat and tails. The flight took about 3 hours. He landed in a farm field owned by a New Jersey farmer by the name of Johnson, who was properly surprised. And in 1831, Durant published an essay describing the flight. He said, "Here burst upon my sight one of the most imposing views I have ever beheld, the white fleecy accumulation of clouds piled in waves as far as the eye could reach, covering the earth. Above me, nothing but a clear expanse of blue, the golden sunbeams spreading over the vast ocean of clouds and extending through immensity of space." It's the birthday of Leo Tolstoy, born into nobility near Tula, Russia, in 1828. He spent a lot of time gambling and drinking and hanging out with women as a young man. Finally, his brother suggested that he sign up for the army, and so he did, joined his brother's artillery unit. He was 23 years old. He was sent to the front to fight in the Crimean War and was horrified by the violence of it. And in 1857, Tolstoy witnessed a public execution in Paris, which affected him deeply as well. He said, "When I saw the head part from the body and how they thumped separately into the box, I understood, not with my mind, but with my whole being, that no theory could justify this deed." He wrote a novel entitled 1805, using his experiences in the Crimean War, though he made the novel about the French invasion of Russia. He wasn't satisfied with that novel, so he rewrote it and expanded it and gave it a new name, War and Peace, the first three sections of which were published in 1867. And it's the birthday of James Hilton, the novelist, born in Lancashire, England, in 1900. published 10 novels in the first decade of his career, didn't get any attention. Then he wrote Goodbye, Mr. Chips, about an old beloved schoolmaster. And when the book came out in the United States, it became a huge bestseller, followed by another one, Lost Horizon, about an imaginary Tibetan village called Shangri-La. Here's a poem for today by Sherman Alexie, entitled Grandmother. Old crow of a woman in bonnet, sifting through the dump, salvaging those parts of the world neither useless nor useful. She would be hours in the sweat lodge, come out naked and brilliant in the sun, steam rising off her body in winter like slow explosion of horses. She braided my sister's hair with hands that smelled of deep roots buried in the earth. She told me old stories, how time never mattered. When she died, they gave me her clock. Poem by Sherman Alexie, Grandmother, from The Business of Fancy Dancing, published by Hanging Loose Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Hello, you are listening to Juno Afternoon. It's September 9th. I'm Joan Pardis. I'm your Monday host, and Jeff Brown is the engineer and producer of the show. I've got a quick little PSA. Come join the Jailhouse Rock on September 17th. The March of Dimes is rounding up jailbirds for their annual jail and bail event at the Moose Lodge between 11 and 1:30. Come down and rock the jailhouse by donating to the jailbirds as they raise money to improve the health of babies. Some of our finest citizens have warrants out for their arrest, so if they ask for help, please contribute to their efforts to raise bail money. It all goes for a good cause, healthy babies. So don't leave those people in jail. That's not a nice thing to do. And speaking of nice things to do, we have two representatives of the Juno Gastineau Rotary. They're known as Bulb Fairies, I believe. We have Peggy Ann McConaughey and Jean McBrien. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having us. We appreciate
it. Yeah. So, Peggy, I understand you're a Bulb Fairy in training,
and I'm working very hard at it. And one of the things I'm working very hard at is to get out the word that we've got some fantastic rotary bulbs that are available for sale right now. Easy way to look and see what we have is by going to rotary.com or rotarybulbs.com. That'll get you right in. You'll be able to see the different packages. But this year we did something completely different. We put everything into nice packages, everything from what we call the Juno Garden to the Continuous Garden to other smaller garden packages, which range anywhere from things like small garden mixes to iris mixes. So we're making it really easy for people to be able to be successful in their bulb planting. And besides that, it's a wonderful way that we can raise money.
That sounds great. Okay, so let's get into the Rotary Bulbs is kind of an annual thing. It's a big fundraiser for the Rotary, and we're going to talk to Jean about where the money goes in just 1 second. But so these bulbs, are you telling me that they've been, like, vetted for Juno? Like, we're not just, like, buying something
we
that
have,
needs 28
we have
hours
master gardeners in the club. Master gardeners who pick out bulbs specifically for Juno's climate, which we all know this was a little bit different of a summer. We had lots and lots of sun, but they pick out bulbs to make sure that they will grow within our particular climate, and they do a fantastic job. And they put things together with color and type and variety so that these are going to grow anywhere in Juno area, even in Southeast.
Okay, so the sale goes until when?
The end of this month. The 30th is when the cutoff is. You have to have your order in by then. And then on October 5th, you can come by AELMP starting at 10 o'clock and pick up your bulbs.
And what if you're not around on that one day?
Oh, if you're not around on that one day, we will hold them till you get there. So don't worry about it. We're not going to take them away, although I'd be tempted because I really, really like bulbs. But no, all you have to do is say, hey, you know, I'm unfortunately can't be there on October 5th to pick them up. So we'll hold them and make sure that we have them ready for you when you are ready to pick them up.
Okay, so you go online, you order these bulbs, mm-hmm. and then you pick them up in October, and then you go and plant them. Is that correct?
You can plant them, or if you don't necessarily want to plant them yourselves, we also have available our power planters, and our power planters will come and plant them for you.
What?
And they're experienced on how to do it. Some people don't know how to do it. It's with the tips up. But it is, depending upon what the weather, a little bit difficult to do. So if you do not want to plant your own bulbs, we have power planters who you can pay to plant them. And they'll plant, you know, with an hour. I think it, Gina, it's $40 an hour.
$40 an hour. And that's a fundraiser as well.
That's a fundraiser as well. And they can plant almost everybody's bulbs within that 1 hour period of time. So it's another great way to ensure that they get in, because they do need to be planted in fall in order to make sure that they start blooming in the spring.
Okay. A couple more questions about the bulbs, and then we're going to talk about what Rotary is and where the money goes. Okay, so this one package that I think is really great that caught my eye is this continuous bloom garden.
Yes, that's one of the ones that I really wanted, because I'm one of those people who used to have to go through all the bulbs and say, okay, I want something that's going to be early spring, then I want something spring, then I want something summer, then I want something late summer, then I want something fall. And it was difficult to be able to pick them all out, and how was I going to package them up, and we have done it for you. When you get the continuous bloom garden, which is only $50, you get 68 different bulbs. These include the large flowering crocuses, the daffodils, which we are what we call naturalizing, which eventually they'll come just up every year. You get this wonderful feeling hot tulip. We also get the Princess Irene tulips, and also the Appledorn tulips, which are a double tulip. So these start to come up early in the spring, and then they'll go and keep coming up throughout the entire summer, which in our particular type of weather system that we have, I think that's the most fantastic way we can do it. So I know I can plant them in the fall and know I will have some beautiful color coming up all summer long.
Okay, that sounds great. And I'm definitely going to go, what's the website again?
Rotarybulbs.com.
Okay, one more question about the who, what, where, when, and why about
yes,
bulbs.
Ma'am.
So what if I'm living in an apartment and I don't have any place to plant these?
Great idea. One of the things that I do whenever I order bulbs is I always keep some back and I force them.
What does that mean?
Force them means that I have little containers I put them in, and I leave them in my house, and I follow a set of procedures, and guess what? They come up in my house in the wintertime when we all need some color. And the directions on how to force bulbs are on the website, rotarybulbs.com. So all you have to do is pick out what you want, save some back, or use them all. I mean, the small garden mix we have is perfect for forcing them inside. And they really are beautiful. It's easy. It doesn't take any sort of special gardening know-how in order to be able to force them. So we give you the directions on how to do it right on our website to make it real easy. So even people who don't have an outside garden can enjoy our wonderful bulbs.
That sounds great. Okay, so Jean, so here this is one of your major, one of the Rotary's major fundraisers. Where does the money go?
Well, one of the things we could also do as far as the fundraising is concerned is if you don't have a place to put flowers, you can just donate money and it'll go to help support all of our projects. The donations go to Beautify Juno. So with any money that's given in that way, we plant the median strip on Egan Drive, we plant flowers out at UAS, and we plant flowers out at the Pioneer Home as well.
So are you saying that all the flowers on the medians downtown is a Rotary project?
Just the bulbs.
Just the bulbs.
Wow,
yeah.
That's lovely.
Isn't that nice? There are a lot of community projects that Rotary is involved with, and the different Rotaries, there's three in town. Every different Rotary has different kinds of projects, and one of our biggest projects is Family Day at the Lake, which we do in June in association with the Department of Fish and Game and a few others. And we have very inexpensive hot dogs and chips and things like that, and then the children learn about fishing and all sorts of things involved with Twin Lakes. We also do home repairs for seniors and the disabled. We've built many ramps in town for our seniors and helping them. We help with the food bank collection, and once a month we serve meals at the Glory Hole as along with other Rotarians. One of the big things that we've done this year is help build a greenhouse and a kiosk at the Jensen Olson Arboretum. And we're very proud of that because it's just a lovely, lovely place to be. Our ongoing projects, Rotary Exchange students, are sponsored and taken in by our people. We are help with the construction of recreational facilities such as dugouts and parks. We do an Adopt the Highway program right near downtown. We're very involved in the Pioneer Home Christmas Party. We have youth scholars and recognition. And a new project over the past 2 years, we've been very much involved in the after-school program at the middle schools.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. That's so diverse. And
a lot of different things that we become involved in, and it all goes to supporting our great community here in Juneau.
That sounds great. So if people are interested, the sale goes till the end of September.
Correct.
And you could buy things online.
Yes, you can. Or if you'd like to, you can always stop by Cycle Alaska downtown or Alaska Pacific in the Valley and pick up Rotary bulb forms there as well.
Okay, and then the pickup is October 5th at ALMP, and if that doesn't happen, just let a Rotarian know, and you could figure it out if you're
we'll
not there.
We'll save them for you.
You need not be present to grab your bulbs.
Yes.
Okay, and there's a wide variety. I have the sheet in front of me, and there's a wide variety ranging from $30 to $70, and they all look pretty great. And this time of year, we're all thinking about putting our gardens, not all, but some of the many gardeners in town, and I'm very low level on that spectrum, but I do have one. We're thinking about putting our gardens to bed and thinking about what we could do for next year.
That is what we're doing at this time of year, and this is an easy way to be very successful for next year's garden.
Right, because the plants are vetted.
Yeah.
The bulbs are vetted. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming. Do you ladies have anything to add? Let's just do some contact information one more time.
Contact information, once again, the easiest thing you can do is go to rotarybulbs.com. All the information is there. Plus, if you have questions, you can email us through the website and be able to get to us, and we'll get back to you. Or if you have any additional questions, you could always call me, Peggy Ann, at 723-8642. Once again, my cell is 723-8642, and I'd be more than happy to make sure they get to the right person.
Right, and this fundraiser is going to directly impact Juneau.
Yes.
Yes.
So that'll be great. Okay, thanks, ladies, for joining us. Next up, we're going to listen to the Boston Brass and the Enzo Quartet. They're coming to town on the 20th. It's the kickoff for the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. So here we go, and then we'll be back with our next guests talking about the Boy Scout fundraising cruise ship luncheon.
Don't send any money. Fate has no price. Ignore at your peril this splendid advice. An invaluable link in an infinite chain. An offer like this will just not come again. You wish you had women to charm and bewitch. Power of life have now over the rich. Young girls will be swooning because you're exciting them. And not only fall at your feet, but be biting them. Guaranteed, guaranteed to capture your breath or possibly scare you to death. Sign it and seal it and send it to friends. Don't mention my name. Don't make any long-term plans. In 36 hours, your fortunes will change. Your best friends won't know you and neither will strangers. Do not keep this letter. It must leave your hand. You have been selected from over 5,000. A twister or dupe will bamboozle or hoodwink you. I can't say more, it would only confuse you. The wine that they offer will go to your head, and you'll start to see double in fishes and bread. Guaranteed, guaranteed for a lifetime or more. Guaranteed for this world and the next. Guaranteed, guaranteed for the world and its mother. Cherish this life as you won't get another one. Unless you should take up this fabulous offer, don't leave it too late or you'll be bound to suffer. And woe betide anyone, so woe be gone. You won't know you're born or about to pass on. You'll never get tired, you'll never get bored. But by the way, I hope you're adored and short. And if you're not satisfied, if you want more, we can always provide an improved overture. Guaranteed at a price that is almost unbeatable. This offer is unrepeatable. Your troubles will vanish, your tears will dry, your blessings will just multiply. Guaranteed at a price that is almost unbeatable. This offer is unrepeatable. Guaranteed, guaranteed to bring fortune and favor, a riot of colors and flavors. Guaranteed at a price that is almost unbeatable. This offer is unrepeatable. Would I lie to you? Would I sell you a dud? Just sign on the line. Could you possibly write it in blood?
you're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Joan Pardis. Jeff Brown's the engineer and producer of the show. And in the studio right now is Melissa Loken, who's the district executive for Boy Scouts in Juneau, or Southeast probably, and George Weifenstein, who's on the board of Boy Scouts here in Alaska. Is that true, George?
Great Alaska Council.
Okay,
yes.
That sounds great. Well, thank you for being here. And we're here to talk about some upcoming Boy Scout events and probably how, if you're interested to become part of a troop, we could do that as well. So, Melissa, what is going on in the fall for Boy Scouts?
Right now, we've been doing a lot of recruiting at the schools. I've been going to the schools and talking to all the boys at the schools and then having parent meetings at the schools at a later date and just trying to get them organized at the schools and get new units and all the new boys signed up. So it's pretty exciting.
Okay. When we talk about Boy Scouts, what's the age range?
Cub Scout starts at first grade, and it goes from first grade to fifth grade. And then Boy Scouts is after fifth grade.
Okay. And is there, I know Eagle is like the culmination activity for the older Scouts. Is there a minimum age when you can become an Eagle Scout?
No, but there's a maximum age. You have to do it before your 18th birthday.
Okay. All right. I digress. I've been to a couple of Eagle ceremonies that were really amazing. Mm. So I know that becoming
an Eagle Scout
is just an amazing accomplishment. And I know that the culmination, not every Boy Scout goes for that, but the ones that do, I think that's one of those life events that you remember forever. So, Melissa, we were talking before we went on the air about these upcoming day camps and a camporee. Mm. So can we? Is that open to only Boy Scout troops?
No, it's the camporee is just for the Boy Scouts, but the day camp is on September 21st, and that'll be out at the Eagle River Camp. And it's just a day from 8 to 4 just for new scouts so that they can, or new people that have joined, so they can learn about scouts. There'll be BB gun shooting, archery, knot tying, fire building, all the great boy events. That's a lot of fun for the boys. So
sounds like a great event for
for anybody.
But it's only open to boys. I understand.
Yeah.
So how do people find out more information or register for that event?
They can contact me by email. It's melissa.loken@scouting.org. So, and then I can get them signed up for it. It's a free, so it's a free camp.
Oh.
So.
And is there a minimum age for that?
It's. You have to be in first grade, so
six, seven
years old. So
okay. Sounds great. And then we were also talking about this Boy Scout camporee that's going to take place the 27th and 29th at the AJ Mine. They're going to be camping in the mine.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. Keith Palke has been doing a lot of work for this and getting it all set up. And the mine, they're going to give us a tour of the mine, and we've got a lot of events planned for them. They're going to do, like, stretcher races and building a travois and it's a lot of fun. It's always a very exciting event the boys really look forward to in the fall.
So this has happened before?
It happens every year.
Oh, wow.
That's not at the mine.
Not at the mine. It's usually out at Eagle River, but they've changed it up this year and they're going to have it at the mine, so it's going to be pretty exciting.
That sounds great. So, George, if people aren't familiar with the Eagle River facility, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Sure. We've got a beautiful camp out there that Governor George Parks gave to the Boy Scouts many years ago during the territorial days, and I can't remember how many acres it is, but it's just one of the most beautiful settings for a scout camp in the U.S., and we've got a very sandy, wide stretch of beach there, and you're looking across Lynn Canal, at Lower Lynn Canal, at the Chilkat Range. And we've got a lot of, since it's so old, some of the buildings are pretty old, but we've been replacing them steadily, and so we brought in a lot of number of cabins that were constructed by Icy Strait Lumber Company over in Hoonah. So beautiful cedar cabins replaced a lot of the old ones about 5 years ago. We just completed a new trading post and first aid station, two stories. It's very nice there, tucked into the woods, and also just finishing up on a new shower and bathroom facility, which it just lends itself not just to the scouting groups coming out, because both the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts locally use it, but also private groups do rent the camp.
No, I was just going to ask that. So along with the Boy Scouts, which of course would have first priority because it is a Boy Scout camp, mm-hmm. how do people find out about how to rent the facility, or
they can just go on Scout Alaska Scouting?
The Great Alaska Council.
Yeah.
You could just search
their website. Boy Scouts Alaska. You'll come up with Great Alaska Council and facilities, and then you can get into renting it. But it's got go out and turn on water. There's running water and electricity, mm-hmm. and it's there's not electricity in the outer cabins, but in the core. Russell
main
Hall,
cabin.
main center hall there is.
And there's lots of people that use it for weddings and stuff, too, and have their ceremonies and stuff out there, and have all, there's lots of places for people to stay out there, too, so it gets used for that a lot, too.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal camp. I'm familiar with it, but I wasn't sure if all our audience was familiar with it, but it is a phenomenal setting, and when you said it's probably one of the most beautiful locations for a Boy Scout camp in the U.S., I could definitely believe that.
Yeah.
So, George, so you're on the board, so you probably have your fundraising hat on at some point or another. There's been talk about this cruise ship luncheon as far as a fundraising event. Well, what's the data on that?
Well, Holland American Lines has generously donated a luncheon to the Scouts. It's going to be this Thursday, noon, and what we did in unfortunately, at this point, as I'm telling you this, the registration is closed for it for security reasons, because there a security group has to have everybody, the attendees, information ahead of time. But it'll be like a six-course luncheon. We're fortunate. We have Captain John Larson, he's a retired Marine Highway Captain, but he actually started. He was one of the youngest Eagle Scouts ever when he was 13 years old down in California. He was a scouting career. He got interested through that in sailing and surfing, skiing, and been pro ski patroller, built his own sailboat, which later this month he's going to sail from southeast over to Hawaii, and he's taken it all over the West Coast, and he is the pilot on the ship that day, the ship's pilot. So we're very fortunate to have him on there as a speaker to tell us not only just about how scouting influenced his career, but his time of sailing both on Scandinavian ships when he first started out, and then how he came to the Alaska Marine Highway System, and then went on to work with Southeast Piloting Association cruise these big ships, because it's pretty interesting when they're doing the transfers out there in Cross Sound or some of these open bodies of water. It's not just they don't just step on a port every time. So that's one fundraiser. Of course, kids are going around selling popcorn during this time of year, and that's great. And for people who actually don't want popcorn for themselves, there's always an option to purchase popcorn. It's either $30 or $50 worth for a soldier serving overseas. And so it's kind of a nice way to, if you don't really want, you're not interested in the popcorn yourself, there's an option to do something nice for somebody else and still support scouting. So that's a fundraiser that's going on over this next month. We've got Friends of Scouting, which goes on pretty much all year round. And the other thing on the luncheon I should mention, too, is Barron's Mechanical is one of the sponsors of the luncheon. They've been very generous with the program over the years. We appreciate that also.
Yeah, that sounds great. So there's lots of different fundraising. I didn't realize it was popcorn season, but now that I know that, I'm sure they'll be knocking on my door, which is great. And it's really good to know that we could send it to a soldier in service to thank them for their service. So that's a great option. And then, Melissa, back to you as far as the signing up. So if you know of a boy or if you have a son who's interested in scouting, you can give Melissa a buzz. What number is that, Melissa?
You can call 523-0990. Or most of the schools have flyers that I've given them, and they know how to contact me, too. So you can always go to your school secretary or there, and they can point you in the right direction.
Right, and then troops are welcome to the day camp, but also people who are not in troops are welcome to the day camp,
yeah.
And that's the 21st from 8 to 4. And then if your son is in a troop, I would certainly go home tonight and say, hey, what's going on at the A.J. Murray? How is that on the 29th, and can parents come? That sounds like so much fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're pretty excited. So
My son's out of the house, but I have a daughter, and I'm like, ooh, we have got to check into this. Who's in the Girl Scouts? Well, thank you so much for sharing this information and coming in today.
Thank you.
Thanks
for
having us on the show.
Okay, so we're going to listen to some music, and we're going to be back with Sarah-Lynn Tabachnik and Joe Parrish about an Aware Wellness, Aware and Pavitt Fitness Center fundraiser. Juno afternoon. It's September 9th. I'm Joan Partis, your Monday host. Jeff Brown's the engineer and producer of the show. And that music, that's the Hut Club of Cowtown. They're coming into town on September 22nd. They're playing at Centennial Hall. It is through Juno Jazz and Classics. So come and check it out. I got my tickets. Did you get yours? So here we are. We're here with Joe Parrish, who is the general manager of Pavitt Fitness Center, and Sarah Lynn Tabachnik, who is the executive director of Aware, to talk about a new partnership between Pavitt Fitness Center and Aware and their push to bring wellness to the workplace.
Thanks. Yeah, it's nice to be here.
So, Joe, tell me about this workplace wellness new.
We're really excited about partnering with Aware to pilot this, what we call our Work Well program. And it's a partnership where we pick a local nonprofit to work with to develop a workplace wellness program, or if they have one, to strengthen it. And then once that's in place, we'll do a month-long fundraiser to help support it.
Oh, that sounds great. So we'll ask Sarah Lynn now. So what is your wellness program at Aware?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting and also a really great idea, and great that Joe contacted us, because we do workplace wellness, and it's not necessarily a program or a policy. And in fact, we've looked at different kind of how could we really do workplace wellness more, kind of what Joe's talking about. So into Aware, and it's kind of been on the back burner because other things take precedence. So while we do what we can to ensure that we're providing to staff what we can so they're able to meet people in crisis, to be calm and steady and knowledgeable, this encouraged us to really get a policy and program together where we can ask staff to do things outside of Aware that takes care of themselves emotionally, physically, spiritually,
socially, yeah. Physically. Yeah, we as a health and fitness center, I mean, we're locally owned. We have a big commitment to the wellness of this community. And this community has an incredible nonprofit community, which also has the health and well-being as most of their missions. So we saw a natural partnership there. And, you know, where do we spend most of our waking hours as adults? Is in the workplace. And our healthcare costs, you know, this workplace wellness is a movement that has gained a lot of momentum over the last 10 years because of our healthcare costs. Employers have found for every dollar that they put into a workplace wellness program, they get about $5 back in improved productivity, less absenteeism, improved morale, less healthcare costs. And so we just saw this as a natural way for a public-private partnership. And, you know, coming out of the nonprofit community where I spent some time, we make our living by partnerships. So now in the private realm, I still had that partnership kind of hat on, and we just thought, well, you know, we both have the same mission in a lot of ways. Let's figure out a fun and productive way to get there together. And Aware just kept coming up on our radar as a great organization to pilot this thing with.
That sounds great. So you have this partnership, and is it true that the whole month of September, new memberships,
yeah,
how
so
does it work as far as the fundraiser? How does it work?
Right. So we got this workplace wellness and policy in place, and now, you know, they made the commitment to doing it. Now we'll make the commitment also to, you know, workplace wellness is great for both the employer and employees. That's great, but money helps too. So we figured we do a month-long fundraiser, and the fundraiser is for anybody who comes into Pavitt Health and Fitness and gets an annual membership. We'll donate their first month's dues to Aware for the month. So, you know, we really want – it's a win-win-win for everybody, for the community, for Aware, for Pavitt. It's a great way for people to support their own health and a great nonprofit. Well, it's a win-win.
It is a win-win. And what I'm hearing is there's two different things. So if you're a person and you've been thinking about joining a gym and you need, you know, oh, it's September, we know the rain's going to come back in earnest one of these days.
Right.
I want to go inside, or I just need, you know, the push to join. So you're double dipping. You're making an investment in yourself, and you're also making an investment in a nonprofit here.
Right.
And so let's talk a little bit about PAVITS, and then I want to talk about it from the nonprofit point of view, too. So PAVITS is out the road.
We're right by the Brotherhood Bridge. This is our eighth year of operation. Corey and Alan Pavitt started it. They're homegrown folks, and again, huge commitment to the community. I'm fortunate to be part of that team over there, and I think that we make we have a great facility, great equipment, friendly staff, and we have. You know, we have the expertise really to really move on this. So, and the timing was good.
That's great.
Plus, aren't you 24-hour access?
Yeah,
that's something that I always like about PAVITS.
Right. So, it's 24/7 access. So, I know a lot of nonprofits and business have those weird hours, so we're there. We'll keep the light on for you.
Right, and then you have the exercise machines, and you also have classes.
We have some unique pieces of equipment. We have a rotating tread wall. We have the endless pool, which is kind of nice. And we have great classes, which include all the yoga and high-intensity interval training, body pump, and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, we're a full-service health and fitness center.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I see that there's a special thing coming up, and we'll talk about that in a second. But let's say I work at a nonprofit, and let's say I'm an executive director at a nonprofit like Sarah Lynn, let's just say, which I'm not, but let's say I am. I would, like, if I heard this, I would want to pick up the phone and say, okay, what's the deal? How does this work? Is that how it kind of...
Well, I'm kind of hoping that's exactly what's going on out there.
Well, that's what I'm hearing, you know that...
Because we want this to work, and Sarah and Aware and Pat, we're going to evaluate how this all worked and lessons learned and what we can do better the next time around. So we haven't picked the next nonprofit yet, so... We'll probably do that towards the beginning of the year, do another round. We want to do this ongoing throughout the year. So, yeah, the best way is, if you're interested, give us a call. Corey and I will come out, lay out, like we did with Sarah Lynn, kind of lay out the program, the process, and assess each other's ability to partner on this.
Okay. And then, Sarah Lynn, how was your staff's reaction to this?
It was very positive reaction. As you might imagine, it's been pretty neat. And, in fact, we formed a wellness committee, and several staff and several board members are on that, so that it's really a great partnership for us as well.
That sounds great. Okay, we're running out of time, so let's talk a little bit. I saw this in a variety of different matters around town, that there is a Breaking Habits and Addictive Behavior introductory class. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, this, you know, is being brought to us by Grace Elliott, and she has sponsored this workshop, and we're doing an introductory workshop this Friday from 5 to 7:30. It's free and open to the public, Breaking Habits and Addictive Behavior. And then the full workshop is actually this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Vocational Training and Resource Center.
And so the Breaking Habits and Addictive Behavior, is this a talk? Is this about exercise? Is this about yoga?
Well, the introductory workshop on Friday is mostly a presentation by the yoga guru that is coming in to do this. And then the workshop that Saturday and Sunday is a full-on interactive get down and into it.
And then what I'm seeing on this flyer, too, is that if you're a healthcare professional, this will work toward your continuing education units.
Right.
Is that true? So that sounds great. Okay.
And we have an open house at PAVITS on Saturday the 21st. Food, fun, prizes. Come and check it out.
Okay, sounds great. I'm sure there's going to be like chocolate cake and a variety of heart attack food.
Actually, Corey's world famous salmon burgers and smoothies are the the deal.
Oh, I'm happy you brought that up. Yeah. Now that's something to check out. So that's September 21. Because I'll tell you, we all know what Corey Pavitt looks like. And if you haven't seen him, he's a professional bodybuilder. And Joe's looking pretty healthy, too. So, you know, you might want to know what these people are drinking. All righty. Well, thanks so much.
Thanks, Joe.
I'm going to have to wrap up the show here. So I'm going to quickly do the weather. So the weather is mostly cloudy. We're going to go right to rain and cloudiness for the rest of the week. As far as specifically tonight, it's going to be mostly cloudy. Tomorrow, cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, chance of rain. Tuesday night, rain. Wednesday, mostly cloudy. I think we all know the drill, but it's been pretty good. And then tomorrow, you have a unique opportunity to get me twice. I'm coming back to help an empty seat tomorrow. And our guests are going to be, we're going to talk with someone from the Shambhala Center. We're going to talk about somebody who just came back from Africa. We'll get a preview of Wednesday Juno World Affairs Council presentation, and we'll find out about the Juno Douglas High School's trip to the Fringe Fest in Scotland. So thanks for listening. You've been listening to Juno Afternoon. Next up, All Things Considered.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Auk Bay area, tune to K276 AF 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. An excursion inlet and icy strait, hear KTOO on K2.